oh God. I ask you, Holy Ghost, to have your way in me, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. So I thank you and I praise you, God, Father, for just being with us in this place, oh God. I ask that you walk about in the midst of us, God, and that you show yourself so strong and mighty, oh God. And Lord, I pray that our hearts be directed toward you on this morning, oh God, and let the word do the work on this morning, God. And I give glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. So, woo! Y'all, let me just calm down a minute here. I was ready to give the Lord some praise on this morning. And I thank God. And sometimes we just need to give him praise for who he is. Release some things that, you know, we have to release these things to him. And so, I give him all the glory and praise on this morning. But with no further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started on this morning. And you guys just listen to the word, and you know, sometimes it might not apply to you, but whatever applies to you, take it and hide it in your heart and do whatever the Spirit of the Lord tell you to do. And so we thank God on this morning. But nevertheless, on a few weeks back, as I was riding through our city and I was riding through some different neighborhoods in our area and just, you know, on the east side and just all around the neighborhood, and I took a ride and I was just riding, and as I was riding back home, a word came to me regarding Nehemiah. And if you recall, Nehemiah was one that built, or he repaired, the wall around Jerusalem.
Yes.
In order to protect its citizens from the enemy. In order to protect its citizens from the enemy. And anytime a wall is built, it's always to keep things out.
Yes.
In this case, it was to keep out the enemy's attack. And so the word came to me, a time to build.
Yes.
A time to build, people of God. And I'm not talking about more buildings and churches and all these things, but a time to build. This is a spiritual thing.
Yes.
In the book of Ecclesiastes 3:3, it states, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. And I believe that in this hour and in this time, it's time for us to build up, to repair. The Bible states in Isaiah 58:12, people of God, and it says, they shall be of thee, shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation. Listen to this. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repair of the breach, the restorer of the path to dwell in. And now I'm going to give you a definition of what the word breach means. It means an act of breaking or failing to observe a law, agreement or code of conduct, a gap, a barrier, or defense. And I believe there's been a breaking of the law concerning the word of God. There's been some misconduct in righteousness and true holiness. There's a gap in the wall. So therefore, we have no defense against the enemy. In the book of Nehemiah, chapters 1-3, Nehemiah asked about the condition of the people. I'm just kind of giving you a little history on and what I'm going to be talking about. He asked about the people who were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. If you recall, they were taken captivity by the command of God. God gave them over to captivity, and he took them into Babylon. So Nehemiah at this time is asking about the remnant that was concerning the captivity in Jerusalem. And when he got the report, the Bible states that he was told that they were in great affliction and reproach. And right now, I believe in this hour, we have great affliction and there is some reproach, even in the house of God.
Yes.
But the Bible stated that Nehemiah, when he heard about the report, listen to this, people of God, he did something that I believe that is so vital right now in our hour and in our time. I believe this is vital, and I believe that this is the key to rebuilding the wall.
Yes.
It said that Nehemiah, when he heard about what the people were going through, it said, said, in that time he wept, he mourned, and he fasted, and he prayed. He wept, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed, people of God. There's a difference between us crying out to the Lord than mourning. Mourning is a more deeper sorrow. It means there's a heaviness and a deep sorrow within us. And so we mourn and cry out to the Lord. If you remember, the Bible declares, where are the wailing women? In this time, we need people of God that's able to cry out to the Lord, that's able to mourn and to fast and to pray about the condition of what we're seeing in the land today.
Yes.
I'm not suggesting we build more buildings. The building, the wall that I'm talking about is a spiritual wall. The Bible said that Nehemiah got access from the king to go and see about the people and their condition. But when he got there, he went out, and he went out at night, if you guys recall. He went out at night and he surveyed the land, and he didn't tell anybody what he was doing or where he was going or anything. He just went out by himself and he spied out the land and he surveyed the land just to see what kind of condition it was in. And afterwards then, he informed those, when he went back, he informed those and he encouraged them to build the wall of Jerusalem. He encouraged them. He said, hey, I'm paraphrasing. We need to build the wall. We need to repair the things that have been broken, the things that have a breach and an opening in these walls. And so we need to repair these things. And of course, even now, when the enemy heard about this taking place, they laughed and they scorned at him and they despised him. They even told him that they were rebelling. And of course, this will happen as the people of God and as we begin to build and repair the wall. The enemy will not like it when we decide to build or to repair the breach in the wall. He's not going to like it, people of God. And so what I saw as I began to think and meditate and go back and read this, what I saw in Nehemiah around chapter 3 was unity, oneness, togetherness, willingness, helpers one to another, and strength. And yes, people of God, there are always going to be that one or those people that's not going to do their part. That's just it. That's the bottom line. We're going to always have somebody that's not going to want to do their part in Nehemiah 3 and 5. If they don't want to do their part, we got to keep it moving, people of God. We got to keep moving in the things of God. You just know what you're supposed to be doing, and we're accountable for our own actions. That's one thing I always say. You can't look at somebody else and what they're not doing or whatever they're not being a part of. We're accountable for our own actions, people of God. God's not going to look at it and say, well, Sister Marshall didn't do this, so that's okay. I understand why you did what you did. No, we are accountable for our own actions. This is an individual affair with God. You can't go off of what other people are doing and what other people are saying and how they're acting and how they're treating you and what they're saying about you or whatever the case may be. You are accountable for your own action as a believer of Christ. We cannot allow anyone, people of God, to keep us from following after the word of God. We cannot allow, if you remember, they mocked them and said, even if the foxes jumped on the wall, it would be feeble and it would break. And so we cannot allow the small matters, people of God, to stop us from building one another up as a body of believers. Building up our marriages. Building up our families. Building up our communities. Building up our relationships. Building up our faith and so forth and so forth and so forth, people of God. And most importantly of all, you have to build up your wall. As I said, the wall was built to keep out the enemy, people of God. The wall was built to keep out the things, to keep out the enemy. And so you have to build up a spiritual wall in order to keep out the enemy. The other day I was praying in my home and I was in there, and of course, you know, in this time of season with the rain and all this stuff, you got little creepy crawly things that's coming in your house. And as I was praying, and as I was sweeping and stuff, and I would say to myself, I said, man, I wish I knew how to keep these bugs. Yeah, I'm telling you, I am a bug extortioner. I cannot stand it. I was like, oh. And so I began to say to myself, man, I wish I knew how to keep continue, I heard one thing, and it said,
the word.
Now, I was talking about a physical bugs and spiders. But see, I was meditating on the word. And so the Lord said, the Spirit of God said, the word. Mm. People of God, the only way to build up a wall and to keep the enemy out is the word of God.
Yes.
That is the only way you can build up your wall against the enemy. You remember Jesus, right? When he was in the wilderness. And he said he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. And while he was in the wilderness, the enemy kept coming at him. Satan kept coming at him, tempting him. What did he say? He said, it is written. Yes. That means the word of God. It is written. The only way, people of God, that we can keep out the enemy is through the word of God.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, don't get it twisted now. He's going to come back. Because the enemy said, he left, you remember what it
was? He left for a season.
He left for a season.
He
said he left for a season. So please God, he will come back. But guess what? You done built up your wall now.
Right.
The spirit, spirit is strong. And even when he comes back, hallelujah. Just take a ride around the city, people of God. In different areas, there are ruins, people of God. But guess what? We don't even have to go that far. Just take a look at our homes.
Yes.
Just take a look at our churches.
Yes.
Just take a look at our marriages. Mm-hmm. Just take a look at our children.
Yeah.
Just take a look at our trust and our love and our hope and our thinking, our joy, our strength, and our faith.
Yeah.
So you don't have to. You might not have to go out in the city to see the ruins. We can just take a look right in these places that I named.
Yeah.
It's at ruins.
Right.
People of God, I'm telling you.
Right.
If y'all don't see it, if you take a look around, we can see it right now and today and in our times. Pastor, if you go into Proverbs 24 and 28, I'm going to read that. And I'm going to read it from my paper. It says, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. I'm talking about building the wall, people of God.
What was the scripture?
It's Proverbs 24 and 28. He that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. And it said, actually, if you read it in the NIV, it says self-control, people of God.
Oh,
yeah. And so if you don't have self-control, and see, self-control contains a whole lot of things. You gotta have self-control to be able to know, nah, I'm not gonna go there. You gotta have self-control to be able to say, I'm not gonna say that. You gotta have self-control to be able to say, oh, I'm not gonna think that about my neighbor or my sister in Christ. You gotta have self-control in order to say, oh, I'm not gonna do that. Self-control. Anyone without self-control is like a city that walls is broken down. So that means that anything is able to come in. Because the walls are now broken down. I want to give you a scripture. We're going to talk about it. Pastor, you will go with me to Luke chapter 11. And this is a short message, but I want to encourage your heart, people of God. I believe that right now we need to build. We have to build. This is not something that can be put off. We have to build up the wall of defense against the enemy, people of God. Luke 11. And I'm going to start at 25 and read to probably, well, I'm going to start at 24 and read to 26. And this is a very familiar scripture. It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And when finding none, he says, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. I'm talking about building a wall. Now, I don't know how many of you guys, but I wondered about that for a while. I'm like, okay, how did they get back in? How did they re-enter? And I often wonder about that, people of God. Well, I'm going to put it this way. And I know the women would understand. I'm going to put it in a way like this, okay? And I'm coming from experience, those that have given birth. So you understand where I'm coming from. And so when we know that when a baby is born and it comes out, and what's called a colon called vernix caseo is on the baby. It's like, because you know when your baby come out and all that stuff is on that baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hated that when they used to put that baby on me on my chair. Ah, get this thing off of me. Mm-hmm. All that stuff. And what it does, it protects the baby while in the womb. But nevertheless, the baby has all this stuff on it. And so finally, as women got, we know the nurses will come in and they'll get the baby and they'll take the baby. And the next time you see the baby, it's been washed.
Mm.
The next time you see the baby, it's been washed and
yes.
bathed
yes.
and cleaned up. Well, that's the reason why the spirits are able to re-enter that house. The house of a person was only swept, just the surface of it, and garnished, but not washed.
Uh-huh.
It was only swept. You know, the scripture said the house was swept.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying my throat is dry.
You have to say that now, they ain't got people out there. My throat is dry. If you notice, it said the house was swept and it was garnished, but not washed. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, Pastor, chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And so forth it reads, it says, or do you not know that wrongdoers, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not enter the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. I'm reading out the NIV people, God. Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor man who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkard, nor the slanderers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed and sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of the Lord. And to put it in another term, these are the ones that, what he's talking about, the way they were able to re-enter, because they didn't have the walls built up, those are the ones that look good on the outside. They look good. They go to church. They dress up. They raise their hands. They clap their hands. They praise the Lord. They say amen and all these things. These are the ones that have an outward appearance that look good, but within are full of extortion.
Uh-oh.
And self-indulgence. And so they re-enter those ones. The one that doesn't have the wall built up. The one that doesn't have the washing of the blood of Jesus. That haven't been reborn again. And so they look good on the outside. These are they that they were here. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity.
Uh-oh.
Those are the ones. They have never been washed. They were just swept up. Real good.
Uh-huh.
And looking real good.
Uh-huh.
People of God, it takes the word of God to build that wall.
Yeah.
It takes the word of God to build up that wall, people of God. And Psalms 127 and 1, that's a song in the decree of Solomon, says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walk in vain. It takes the word of God to keep us and to help us to build up the wall. In Jeremiah chapter 6, and I'm almost there, people of God. Nehemiah, you will see where a plot. If you read Nehemiah. Nehemiah is for some reason, people of God, I love the Old Testament. I love it. I can get more out of the Old Testament. And I know if the Bible is all good. All of it is good. But the Old Testament to me, I just read it and I get so much out of it, people of God. But if you read in Nehemiah and chapter 6, you'll see where they begin a plot of the adversaries. And then they heard it, that Nehemiah had built the wall, and there was no longer a breach or a break in the wall. And so then they tried to entice him to come down and to converse with them. But Nehemiah told him, I ain't got time for that foolishness. I ain't got time for it. And I'm paraphrasing, people of God. But in other words, he told him, I ain't got time for that nonsense. I don't have time to come down because I'm doing a great work, people of God. He wasn't going to cease from his work in order to go down to foolishness, because he knew what they were trying to do. And sometimes we just cannot cease from the work, the good work that God has us doing, people of God. We can't cease and stop all because somebody wants us to come down. And it's a plot against the adversary. What they were really trying to do, let me go ahead and read on. It says this. He said, I was doing a good work, and he wasn't going to cease from the work to make it short. They attempted to put fear in him and to trick him because they wanted the work to cease. How many of us know, I put it in today's time, and they say, it don't take all that. See, we ain't got to do all that anymore. Girl, that was back then. Oh, you know, me and God got a relationship. He knows my heart. He understands. He sure do. Wicked. Desperately wicked. And he does. He sure do know our heart. And so you don't have time for that foolishness and that nonsense when people come and try to get you to cease from doing the good work that God is calling us to do as a body of believers. It's a trick. And let me tell you some people, God, the enemy will send those that you know. Yeah. Those that you might say, oh, I know they mean not good. Are they all right? Yeah, we fellowship together.
Yeah.
I know her. She my friend. Uh-huh. Yeah, he'll send those kinds. Yeah. Those that you thought that you could trust.
Uh-huh.
And he'll send them to trick and to put fear. But see, Nehemiah was smart enough and had wisdom enough to know what they were trying to do. And I've always said that the enemy will always try to create a distraction. He never fails. He'll try to create something to distract us from doing the work of the Lord. And most of the time, you know where it's at? In our families.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah.
It's right there in our homes.
Yeah,
whether it be our marriages, our God. Whether it be our sons and our daughters, our children, he'll cause a distraction to get us to turn away and start focusing on something that God said, I need you to continue to do the work. I need you to continue to build that wall. I need you to continue to build a spiritual wall of defense against the enemy. And it's only the word of God that can do that, people of God. Sometimes when we get in our situations and we're going through different things in life, it seems like the words just fly right on out of us. It seems like we can't just muster up. And I know sometimes times get heavy. Things are a burden. But we shouldn't have to take on that burden. But it gets heavy on us. And sometimes we'll get a little distracted and we'll begin to focus on the thing that we're going through more than we're focusing on God. And so that's why I say, I'm preaching to myself, people of God. It takes the word of God to keep us focused. It takes the word of God in order for us to build up the wall, to repair the wall of defense against the enemy in order to keep him out, people of God. The scripture is right here on the wall. Ephesians 6 and 11 says, it tells us to put on the armor of God. What is the armor of God? People of God, it's the word of God. Put on. You can't go around in a literal army, big old army suit, walking around in a whatever that, what is that thing, whatever. You look crazy walking around in that thing all day. I'm putting on the armor of God and walking around with that stuff on. No, that's not what it means spiritually. Spiritually, it's the word of the living God.
Yes.
That you may be able to stand against the wiles and the schemes of the devil. And so you put on the word of God. It says put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to put him on, people of God, in order to fight against the enemy. Because as we ourselves, that flesh, we have no power against him. It takes the word of God. The word of God is power, people of God.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So we can't fight against him in a natural, in a fleshly sense. Because we're not going to be able to overcome him. with God. There are three ways that I want to give you, and I'm almost there, that you are able to keep out the enemy. The first one is power. Power. Pastor, you go to me with to Luke 10 and 19. And it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Uh-huh.
The word of God, power. It takes power, people of God. It also says that greater is he, people of God, in us than he that is in the word, the world. Proverbs 18 and 21. We're still on power. 18 and 21. Proverbs. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. And those who love it will eat its fruit. We can kill a thing. And we can also bring a thing to life. Power and death lies in our tongue, people of God. You understand it? When we say, oh, man, I'm always sick. Oh, man, I'm broke. I ain't got no money. Oh, man, my kids, oh, they're so bad. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. Before we know it, we're saying, we're boop, and you can't read that in the end. Take that and say, oh, okay. That's what you're saying? All right, then. Let's make this happen. We speak death, but we can also bring a thing to life by speaking life, the word of God. My children are obedient. The word of God says, so shall my seed be saved. Long life and good health shall thou satisfy me, God. Your word says, Lord. And so that's life. When you speak the word, you're speaking life. The next one is prayer. Prayer. And we're all familiar with this scripture. I probably don't even have to say it. Luke 18 and 1. It says, a man ought to always pray and not faint. We must, people of God, have that communication with God in order to build up that wall. Prayer, all it is communicating with God. Make your supplications and your requests known unto him. That's all it is having that communication with God. Matthew 26 and 41, it says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Prayer.
Yep.
Prayer. We're all guilty, people, God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It says the spirit indeed is willing. The spirit is saying, come on, you can do this. Come on, you know, come on, we can do this. Come on, don't do it. Don't go there.
Yeah.
And I know guarantee for a true fact that the spirit will tell you,
yes, it will.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
Don't go there. Don't act like that.
Yep.
Don't submit to that.
Yeah.
Don't succumb to that. The Spirit will tell us what to do. But what do we do?
Right.
We override and go right on ahead and do that thing.
Yeah.
And then what happens? And then here we are. Oh, Lord, I need God. Yeah. But the Spirit indeed is willing. In order to build the wall, you got to listen to what the Spirit of the Lord said. Now, I don't know if I told y'all this, but about what? Maybe a few weeks back, right? Obviously, we were in the house. And see, I love telling what God, because I just love telling what God and how he is and the Spirit of God works. And I'm sure it works with all of us like that, but it's just a whole nother. Me and him got a relationship that only I understand. Amen. And so I was at the house the other day, and my husband and we were in the house and we were in the room, and I can't recall everything that what happened, but something happened and he said something that to me was a little harsh, a little rough. You know, I'm a little sensitive sometimes, women. We're a little sensitive sometimes. So to me it was rough and harsh. And so my little self, I said, I showed him. And so when he asked me, get you out of the character of Christ. And boy, I'm talking about, I said, oh my, it just stood me myself, and I kind of laughed, and I said, man,
Lord,
you always get me like that. Always. I said, but thank you, Lord, for your love, because he chastened those he loves. And so that's why he did that, because he loves me, and he loves us. And so I told my husband, and he's like, wow. You know, because I think he got both of us in one rock. You know what I'm saying? And so, but that's what I'm saying. The Spirit indeed is willing, people of God, and it'll do it. But we override because our flesh want to do that thing. Because we just want to do what we want to do. You know, we're in that hour where people, it's me, myself, and I, and I can do whatever I want to do. You know, I know my relationship with God. I can do whatever I want to do. Now, what does the Word tell you to do? That's what you do.
Amen.
The next one is praise. I was so excited when we were talking about praise. I was like, wow, man, thank you, Lord. The next one is praise. In order to build up the wall and your spiritual, we got to praise God, people of God. We got to praise him. No matter what the situation is or what it may seem like, we got to praise God. And give me a minute to get to this. I love it. I love it. I love it. And after this, I am done, people of God. But let me get to this, because this is one I read a lot. But anyway, we're going to go to Hebrews 13 and 15. Hebrews 13 and 15, it says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. Let us continually. It didn't say only giving praise when you feel like it. Only giving praise when he blessing you. Only giving praise when you're on the mountaintop. Only giving praise when your kids acting right. Only giving praise when your marriage is all good and you got a pocket full of money. No, that's when you're giving praise. No, continually.
Uh-huh.
He says, continually give him praise. That means all the time, no matter what we're going through, because we know, people of God, for a sure fact that we're going to go through some things in life, people of God. We are not exempt. We are not exempt from trouble, trial, tribulation, distress, affliction. We are not exempt, people of God. It's in those times that Christ are to be glorified in us. You know, it's through those times right there that we can say we shine as children of light in the midst of a dark and perverse generation. Because we're able to stand in the midst of everything that we're going through and proclaim the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. But I'm going to read this and I'm going to be done, but build the wall. This was for me if it wasn't for anybody else. Build the wall. I don't know why people think pastors and leaders and all that is exempt and we so strong and they don't go through. No, we even go through more. You know? So build the wall. But this is going to be a lengthy, but I'm going to go as fast as I can. But I want you guys to get this. And it's from Psalms 107. And I'm going to read 8 until I get to the end. That's just about it. That's what I'm going to say. But it says this. It says, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfied the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness, such as sin in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Because they rebelled against the word of God and contempt the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought them down, their hearts with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of all their distress. He brought them from out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful work to the children of men. Yeah. For he had broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. fools because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of all their distress. He sent a word and healed them, hey God, and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare the works with rejoicing. That they go down to the sea in ships. They do business in the great waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, when lifted up the waves thereof, they mounted up to the heavens and go down again into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men, and are in their wits' end. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bring them out of their distress. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turned rivers into wilderness and water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land, barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turned the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, and that they may prepare a city for habitation. And he sowed the fields and planted vineyards, which may yield fruits and increase. He blesseth them also, so that they may multiply greatly and suffer not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poured contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh his families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all the iniquity shall stop her mouth.